Good morning, and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Garrett Sweeney brings a message titled, Three, from Scripture found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. This is Kevin Van Heukelom, inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning. Just a couple announcements this morning. Don't forget that right after the service, there's coffee and cookies in the fellowship hall downstairs. And today at 11 is choir rehearsal. Monday, 1 p.m., is Bible study. Tuesday at 10 a.m. is Prayer Shaw Ministry. Wednesday, 9:30, down in the basement, there's coffee and donuts. And at 6:30, there's Psalms Bible study. And Thursday is Woman's Bible study. I was reading the other day in the book of Psalms, and 124, and David said, "If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side." And then he repeats himself in verse 2, and he said, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us." And there's 8 verses in there, and David ends with, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Our help this morning is in the name of the Lord. Jacob said, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not." The Lord is here this morning. I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. Two or more gathered in His name, and He said He'll be amongst us. The Lord's here this morning to minister unto us as we minister unto Him. Let's everybody get a psalm book, turn to 746, and let's stand and sing, "He Keeps Me Singing."
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in your house this morning. For we know that where two or more are gathered in your name, your presence is there, Lord. So grateful for each and every one that has come out this morning, Lord. And as we sang that, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. For there's no other name under heaven which we can call upon and be saved. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Holy Spirit, move amongst us. Bless each one that's here this morning in a special way as we minister unto you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, choir. Shall we go to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, I come before you, and as the choir sang that song, let's just praise the Lord. You're worthy, Lord, this morning of all praise, all glory, all honor. For it's you, in you that we trust. It's in you that we live. It's in you that we move. It's in you, Lord, that we have our being. We exist, Lord. I'm so grateful, Lord, that we live where we can go to church and worship you in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, you said, as Jesus rode on that donkey into Jerusalem, if these people didn't praise you, the rocks would cry out. You're worthy of all praise this morning, for we know that you are the Almighty, and we know that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. When you said, let there be light, there was light. When you made the firmament and you separated the waters from the land and you called the dry land earth and you called the waters sea. It was so because you said so. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. You said in Psalms 121 that we would lift up our eyes to the hills from where cometh our help this morning. For our help cometh from you, Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And Lord, as I think about the different names and the different ones that are going through different things, Lord, whether it's on radio or whether they're listening by radio or if they're watching this by YouTube, whatever, Lord, or they're sitting here this morning, Lord, with perhaps a financial need, an emotional need, a physical need, a spiritual need, we know that you are able to do exceedingly above anything we would ask or think. I pray for Joe, Betty, Carol, Jan, Mark, Brian, Mark, Steve, Kay, Dorothy, Robert. Pray for our pastor this morning as he's vacationing, Lord. Minister on to him and his family, Lord. Father, we know that you're able. Lord, we know that you don't slumber, you don't sleep, and that you are our keeper. You're the shade upon our right hand. You said that the sun shall not smite thee, nor the noon moon by night, for you shall preserve us from all evil, Lord. We know that you are the great preserver, for we know that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. I pray for each and every individual here this morning, each and every individual that's listening by radio, Lord. I pray if they're not right with you, that today would be their salvation. I pray for each one of their needs, Lord. Father, we know that all things are possible with you. Heavenly Father, you're just so good to us. I'm thinking about how the disciples came to you, Lord, and they said, oh, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And you said, when you pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation. Amen. Hymn 696, God Leads Us Along. Let's everybody stand as we get a hymnal and turn there. As I prepared this sermon this morning, I first started out with one verse, and all I was going to share was in Luke 15, verse 11, but the Lord said, share the whole scriptures that go along with it. So we're going to go begin with verse 11 and go to 32 in Luke chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would make these words alive, Lord, that you want me to share this morning. I depend on the anointing and not on myself, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The verse I was going to share by itself was verse 11 that said a certain man had two sons. And I see three that are listed there. I see the father, which I believe it's a representation of God, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. And you've got two sons, total of three. And I believe one of the sons is saved and the other son is unsaved. One has made his peace with God through, I believe, Jesus Christ, but the other one has not made his peace with God. And I'll share that with you in a few minutes. Let me first talk about the unsaved one, or the one that was not right with God. I had worked hospice while I pastored three churches in Tennessee, and I covered an area from Arkansas to Nashville and from Mississippi up to Kentucky. And I covered that whole area, visiting hospice patients, did funerals, never once with people that were dying did a child ever come to his father or the mother and say, I want my inheritance now. Never once saw that. Never once saw with all the different funerals that I preached pastoring, never did I see a child come to his parent and say, give me my inheritance. This younger son in Luke 15 comes to the father and says, give me my inheritance. Give me what I've got coming to me. Kind of a spoiled brat, can I say, right? I mean, I've never met that or heard of that. That's the first thing that I noticed about him. And the father splits up his living, doesn't he? And he gives it to the son. And the son knew better than the father. He says, I'm going to a faraway country and I'm going to party. Right? He does it with riotous living, doesn't he? Doesn't he run after harlots, the Bible says? He's got lots of friends, lots of money. He's drinking, taking dope, doing all kinds of things, looking for some type of peace. But he doesn't have any peace. Can I tell you, the devil is out to offer you all kinds of things, but when everything is going good and you think, oh, this is really living, whether it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever it is, there comes a day that he pulls that rug out from under you. And then you begin to go down. You know, as I thought about this, this prodigal began to go downhill. It wasn't as joyful as eating, drinking, making merry. The party was about over. Think about Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, having a big party, and all of a sudden, the handwriting's on the wall, and he begins to shake. It's prodigal. There's a famine in the land. He spent all his money. He goes to all his friends that he had, as long as he had money. I need some help. And they all ignore him. He's all there by himself. What am I going to do? He joins himself to a man in that country that says, you go live with my pigs as low as I can go, right? And he's out there and he's fighting amongst the pigs just to eat a little bit of the corn hog, didn't he? Isn't that what it says there? And while he's there, he's about ready to die. He's at the point. And he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. He says, if I keep on this way. He says, I know that at my daddy's house, those people that at the Reformed Church, they got it good. Maybe I should go there. Maybe I should go back to the Father, because those servants have it better there. They're not as miserable as I am right now. They're not as uncomfortable. I have no peace. I have no joy. The party's over. And the Bible says, and he comes to himself. And he says, I know I'll go back to the Father. And I'll humble myself. I'll go back to church. I'll go back to God. And he'll say, and he'll confess his sin. He'll say, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against you. And he says, I'm not no more worthy to be called your son. I made a mistake when I first started out in the ministry. Well, I made a few mistakes. One of the things I did when the first time I did communion at this one church, I said, if you do not feel worthy, don't take communion. You know how many people took communion that day? Nobody. Who feels worthy? Right? We are worthy if you're a child of God because of the blood of Jesus, aren't we? That's the only thing that makes us worthy. But he says, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Bible also says about him, he was dead. He was lost. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about being dead in your trespasses and sin. And it talks about being quickened or being born again from that. He says, at one time, you followed the prince of this world. You followed the things of the world. And he's still working in this day, it says, in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's talk about repentance for a few minutes and how to really, what is, in Luke chapter 13, it starts out there and it tells you about how Pilate mingled the blood of individuals that were offering sacrifices with the blood of the sacrifices. These men from Galilee come to Jesus, and maybe they want to pass on a piece of gossip to get on his good side. You know how people want to share some bad news with you just to get on your good side? They come and they want to share this bad news. Now, if you understand anything like Grand Rapids, you got Wyoming, you got Granville, you got Jenison, and you've got different leaders in each of those places, right? In Jerusalem, Pilate's over Jerusalem. He's the Roman leader. And in Galilee, Herod is the Roman leader that's over Galilee. And these Galileans come to Jesus wanting to gossip or pass on this news to him. And they said, well, you know, Pilate, he mixed the blood of those offering sacrifices and he killed these people and mixed their blood together. And Herod and Pilate were enemies, remember? And that's why they're sharing this story, these Galileans. And Jesus looked at them. He says, I suppose you think that they were sinners above all sin. Sinners, right? We have a tendency, that almost kept me from salvation. I thought, I'm not as bad as that one. I'm not as bad as that one. Sin is sin in God's eyes. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you did. We're all born into sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no other name under heaven which man can call upon and be saved. Right? It's just that simple. All of us are sinners. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Look in the mirror. And Jesus said to him, you think that these guys were sinners above all sinners that died that death? He says, no. He says, I tell you, no. He says, unless you repent. You're in the same category. You're on your way to perish. You're on your way to hell. And he says, let me tell you another story. He said, you heard about what happened at the Pool of Siloam that's in Jerusalem. There was a tower there. He said that tower fell on 18 people and killed them. He said, do you think they were sinners above all? He said, what do you think? And they didn't answer him. And Jesus said, unless you talk directly to them. If I'm pointing and I hit you, I'll go like that. Sometimes I have the tendency to point. It's not to point out individuals. I've always had that bad habit preaching, Paul, you know what I mean? But he says, unless you repent. But it's more than just repentance. It's more than just turning from your wicked way. He tells a parable in Luke 13, doesn't he, Scott? He tells a parable in there, and the parable, and I never understood this parable until just recent years. The parable is about a man that has a vineyard, and he plants a fig tree there, and for 3 years, the one that planted the fig tree there comes in, and he looks, and it hasn't produced any fruit for 3 years. And he gets upset, and he says, you cut it down. Kill the thing. There's a judgment day coming, isn't there? Isn't there a judgment day coming? He says, cut it down. Just it's wasting land. And somebody says, let me work on it just a little bit longer. Let me show them a little bit mercy. Let me just continue to fertilize it and water it, and let's see what happens after a couple years. And so I often thought, Lord, what is that about? And then I read in John chapter 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. And he says, and the branches that produce, he says, the Father purges. That's the trials, right? And if it doesn't produce, he says, the Father cuts it off, right? And then he goes on, that my words abide in you and I abide in you. And he says, if I, being the vine, abide in you, then you'll produce, right? And the problem with the fig tree in Luke 13, he was not hooked up to the vine. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. We turn from our wicked way and we accept Jesus, right? Isn't that what he says? He says, you got to hook up to the vine, don't you? He's the only way. Now, that's the first one that I noticed was the unsaved. There's no other name under heaven. The boy comes to himself and he says, I'm going back to the Father. Doesn't he? Because he says, he's got the life. He's got life, right? Doesn't he? You know what's interesting in Luke 15 also is that he said that in there that my Father's servants have more bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, didn't he? Didn't he? Now, let's talk about the other guy. I believe the other boy is saved. But you know, he's got something wrong. Can I tell you what matters is what's in here and here? We can go around, big smile on our face. But in there, there's a lot of things going on that people don't see. This boy, when I had a picture, I thought, man, this boy, you know who he represents? He represents the big, 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 big potter. He's at home. He goes to church, got a smile, sings real loud, goes home and pouting over this, pouting over that, complaining about this, complaining about that. He got an attitude problem. His heart's right with God, but he got an attitude problem. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't he have an attitude problem? I'm going to sit here. Nobody loves me. I'm not going to the party. Nobody does a party for me. Nobody does this. They don't do this. They don't do that. Right? You know, you've got to destroy that in your own life. If you don't destroy it, it's going to keep on tormenting you. Won't it? Doesn't the Bible tell us you even got to love your enemy? Doesn't the Bible tell us you got to go an extra mile if they take your coat or your cloak, give them your coat also? Doesn't it also say if they smite you on the one cheek, turn the other cheek? I had a smart aleck come up to me after one of the sermons I preached. I preached on that, turn to the other cheek. You know what he said to me? Come out the back door, shaking my hand. He says, "Preacher, you didn't say anything about if they go to smite you on the one cheek. Bible doesn't say anything about not ducking. You can duck." I think he missed the point. Don't come up and say that to me, please. Matthew 18. Those of you that are keeping track on how people do you wrong, maybe you got a calendar, you're marking things off. Oh, they did me wrong today. They did me wrong to this. Peter comes to Jesus. He says, "Lord, if my brother sins against me 6 times and it's the 7th, I don't have to forgive him anymore, right?" Isn't that more or less what he says? I only got to forgive him 7 times. And those of you that are mathematicians, Jesus says, no. He says 7 times 70, right? Which is how much? 490. So on 489, once it gets 490, we don't have to forgive him anymore. Pardon? Keep going. Got to keep going. You got to let the thing die. If you don't let it die, it'll destroy you. It'll torment you. You know, it'll get in you and ooh. Every time you see that person, I had one lady angry at me all the time, and I went in the grocery store. She'd run down another aisle. Or you know how you get sometimes when you're upset? You try to hide like that, but like you think they don't see you. And she was doing that, and I grabbed my cart and ran into her cart. "How are you today?" Run, 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 run. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus said 409 times. He talks about a king. And he says the king is taking account. And he says this one man owes him 100,000 talents, which is equivalent to about $53 million in silver. And the man comes in and he says, "You owe me this money," the king. Isn't Jesus King of Kings? He says, "You owe me this money." He says to him, "Pay me what you owe me." And the man says, "I have nothing." And doesn't the king say, "You, your wife, your children, and everything you have it be sold." Now this caught my attention when I read it in the King James. He drops and worships. Does he accept Jesus maybe? He worships. He worships, he falls, and he worships. And he says, "Please be patient with me." And the king has compassion. And he forgives him of the debt. Doesn't he? The whole debt. This man goes out, and I see him as happy as can be. Gets up and goes out. "Oh, I'm so glad. For it's peace, peace, wonderful peace. Oh, God, you're so good to me." Then he sees this guy that owes him about 50 bucks. He grabs him by the throat. That's what the Bible says, grabbing him by the throat. He said, "You pay me what you owe me." doesn't he? You talk about attitude. You. Doesn't he have attitude? Has him thrown in jail. The guy falls and says, please be patient with me. I'll pay you. No, you get up. Throws him in jail. Throws him in prison until it's all paid. This is the quench. The king finds out, calls him in and says, I forgave you. I had pity on you and forgave you of an enormous debt. Lord forgave you and I of an enormous debt. He says, I forgave you of an enormous debt. And he says, I had pity on you. He says, not no more. Now, get a hold of this. Bible says, he turned them over to the tormentors. The tormentors. Until the debt was paid. Now, here's the clincher. That's why I believe he was saved until the debt was paid. But he says, so likewise shall my Father do also unto you if ye from your heart forgive. Forgive not everyone. In other words, we can hide it in there, right? We can go around big smile on our face like nothing bothers, but in there we're in torment because of things we won't let go. We all know the story of David and Goliath, right? David kills a giant with a pebble, right? From his sling, right? Doesn't he? You know what the next thing, though, David did? He runs up to where Goliath is. Pulls out Goliath's sword. Cuts off his head. If I can encourage you, if you got that torment inside, get the sword, which is the Word of God. Isn't it sharper than any two-edged sword? Cut it off. Cut it off. Kill that thing in you. You don't need that torment. You with me? It's easy to get that torment, isn't it? Things just torment you and eat at you, eat at you. Kill the thing. Destroy it. You say, no, I can't. I can do all things. Through who? Christ who strengthens me. Right? You with me? You know, the last one I want to talk about is the Father. In verse 12, and you can see it in your Bible, in the Pew Bible there. In verse 12 and verse 18 and verse 21, is anybody there? Aren't those capitalized, the word Father? 12, 18, and 21. The word Father's capitalized, isn't it? In Matthew 6, what we prayed earlier, our Father who art in heaven. When you read that, that Father is capitalized. And who are we talking to? God the Father, right? I want you to grasp this. God the Father says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy burden. And he says, I will give you rest. says in Matthew 3, after Jesus is baptized, the Father speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Right? And then in Mark chapter 9, at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus is transfigured, and Moses is there, and Elijah's there, and then they go. The Father speaks again. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And he says, "Hear him." Listen to what he has to say. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "No man, no woman, nobody goes on to the Father but by me." And then he says, "I am the only way." He says, "I am the truth. My word is truth." And he says, "I am the life." He says, "I've come to give you life more abundantly." And he says, "If you come unto me and accept me and you turn from your way, then you shall be saved." And then you have access to the Father. And what does the Father do? He gives you a new robe. I like what Psalm 61:10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." He will clothe me. It's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness. And then what else he does? He gives him a ring. And I think of Song of Solomon. "I am my beloved, and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. The love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost." Isn't that what it says in Romans? And then the Bible goes on to say, he gives him a new pair of shoes. Got a new way of walking, doesn't he? His feet are shod with the gospel in preparation of peace. According to the book of Psalms, the steps now of a good man are ordered of the Lord, right? And then he gives him a fatted calf, doesn't he? You talk about a party, woo! "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy." When I'm going through the trials, he prepares that table. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me beside the still waters. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And if I go to die, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear any evil because he is with me. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers my sins no more. His mercy endures forever." That's what the Father has to offer us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I shared what you wanted me to share this morning, Lord. And I pray that your word not return void, Lord. Pray for each and every individual, Lord, that's here this morning, within the sound of my voice, Lord. Meet all of our needs, Lord, according to your riches, Lord, in glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of response is 743, "Wonderful Peace." If the deacons will come at this time, take up the offering. Heavenly Father, just so grateful just to give back a portion unto you, Lord. You're just so good to us, Lord. Bless those that were able to give and those that weren't, Father. Be with us, Lord, in a special way, Lord. We thank you for our church doors being open. Thank you for every individual that's here this morning and within the sound of my voice, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we sing our closing hymn, 502, verse 1, let me give us the benediction. He says in Romans 12, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, for that's your reasonable service. Want to encourage you. You go with God, go with Jesus, and go with the Holy Spirit. Amen. 502. Thank you.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.